Thank you very much, Don Kleppen, Steve Bertrand in the Allstate Skyline Studio on the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's Bank. All right, we're a little moved around on this Monday afternoon because of the inauguration of Governor Pritzker. In the studio now, the folks from Chicago Inno, Jim Dahlke, the senior editor, and Catherine Davis, a reporter. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
And it's appropriate that you're here, really, because this... Well, I'm not going to say, well, maybe I'll say he's our first tech governor, which is, what does that mean? But the fact is that J.B. Pritzker has long been very involved in the tech industry, the startup and the innovation in Chicago and the state, right? And that's something that you guys will be watching very closely.
Yeah, I mean, back in 2012, you know, Pritzker was one of the founding partners of 1871, the city's largest tech incubator, helped finance that. You know, he also has Pritzker Group Venture Capital, you know, working to invest in startups. And so he's been, you know, business friendly, tech friendly, definitely interested in startups from, you know, even before jumping into politics. So I think a lot of people think that this will just continue going forward.
The governor, in his inaugural address, called out entrepreneurs in the state. He also pointed out that one of every 10 computer science degrees in the country comes from an Illinois college or a university. And how does that fit, Jim, with the development, the South Loop development, that it sounded like he got on board this weekend, I think, but I didn't kind of realize it was at risk.
Yeah, the site down the South Loop called the 78, really the idea there is that it's going to be kind of a research hub affiliated with the University of Illinois. Kind of the emphasis of it is that it's going to be able to connect the engineers that are coming out of Urbana-Champaign with Chicago and the business community here and kind of create this sort of innovation hub. And the fate of it is a little unknown at the moment, but Pritzker did sort of voice his support of it. And I think that's what you get with, you know, a governor like J.B. Pritzker, is that you have somebody who is forward thinking when it comes to tech and innovation, and someone who's going to make policies and advance your cause for tech and startups. Having said that, I don't know how much of an effect that he's going to have on the tech and startup ecosystem here. I think that in many ways, the, you know, Chicago startups sort of succeed independent of, you know,
it's
what's going on.
It's not a government thing so much.
Right. And in some ways that they've sort of done well despite what's happened at the state and city level, right, on the government side of things. So
you didn't hear the whole address, but the governor said everything is not broken. Okay. So let's spend the rest of the program trying to find out what's not broken.
And I think what's worked is you've found that Chicago startup ecosystem works because of the entrepreneurs and the innovation that's happening here within the city limits. And I think that Pritzker, what he can do, will continue to boost that. But what happens here is you know, based on the merits of their own accomplishments, I think.
It's funny that you bring that up, because it's maybe what is it his cousin or his sister Penny Pritzker is doing then, right, with the private impetus with developing a tech plan or innovation plan for Chicago.
Right, so that's P33, and so she's doing that with Chris Gladwin, a serial entrepreneur, and so that really doesn't really take a look at the government side of things. It's really more about getting the Fortune 500s invested with the startup ecosystem around here.
Which is kind of your point, though, isn't it, that it's not government, it's private enterprise.
And that's how I think Chicago's tech ecosystem is really going to elevate and kind of get to that next level, right? And that's what P33, this whole initiative, is all about, to sort of take Chicago. If Chicago's a sort of a B-list tech city, how can we get it to an A-list city?
Catherine, you wrote a piece about predictions for 2019 in the tech industry in Chicago, and P33 came up pretty big.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, there's been talk of how to elevate Chicago's reputation as a tech hub for years now, you know, from business leaders, civic leaders. But people have faith in P33 because of its involvement with, you know, the big Fortune 500 companies here. So like United Airlines or Allstate Insurance, and kind of getting, you know, probably the you know, the backing and financial backing from them that they need to spread the message and get awareness out there about Chicago.
You talk to the predictors. I mean, what do they say about a Pritzker administration?
They're pretty, you know, optimistic about it. You know, just based on Pritzker's history with Chicago tech and startups, they think it's a good thing. And you know, when it comes to regulation around, you know, business-friendly policies, they think that Pritzker's going to be in their corner.
As for other predictions, then, logistics is always big in Chicago. It will continue to be, the piece says. But tell me again about the food industry and why RX Bar could lead to more big things in Chicago.
Yeah, so RX Bar was acquired for $600 million in 2017, and I think after that it really turned a lot of, you know, not only startup founders, but also investors, you know, looking at that industry more closely and really seeing the opportunities there. And so you've seen some other smaller food startups popping up in the last year, and, you know, investors think that this is going to be an area that's going to be really hot going forward.
That's Catherine Davis, Jim Dahlke here as well from Chicago Inno. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, another reason for you to stay away from the freezer section of your grocery store, maybe. Wait till you hear what's coming to Walgreens. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Snap your fingers, and just like that, a new park is planned to be in the spot of the proposed stadium set to be in Lincoln Yards. All right, green space. The redesign will now include nearly 6.2 acres of park and green space for the Lincoln Yards. And chances are, this won't upset residents, since this is what many residents ask for when developments are created around the city. The Chicago Planning Commission will meet to discuss the plan on January 24th. That's likely to get underway without many setbacks. Not to brag, but we're pretty good at redesigning projects. Just look at the Garfield Green Line station that the CTA just completed with a pretty price tag of $43 million. It officially opened last week after nearly a year of construction. And according to the CTA, roughly 475,000 passengers depend on that station every year. And now they'll be able to enjoy a number of public art pieces in the station and a revamped station house. Anything to make getting to work a little bit nicer. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand, J.B. Pritzker, Jim Dahlke, and Catherine Davis are your hosts on this Monday afternoon. Pritzker left early, apparently going to a party or something. I don't know, but Jim and Catherine are still here. Okay, Jim, this is you wrote a fascinating story about this startup in Chicago. What are they? They're called Cooler Screens, right?
Right.
And so it's a way that when we go to the freezer section, or I'm assuming other places too, the coolers might end up talking to us in a way.
Yeah, so Cooler Screens was a startup that popped on our radar about a year ago, and we really not was a much known about this company. They're pretty under the radar, but they've got a pretty impressive founding team. So they're the
you
company
guys were the first to report on them, right?
Yeah. So we caught wind of them early on, but they're founded by the co-founder of Argo Tea, the founder of Livongo Health, Glenn Tolman, and then the former Walgreens CEO, Greg Wasson. So that's a pretty stacked leadership
right,
team,
right?
Basically, what they do is they create digital advertising on the front of retail cooler doors. So it sounds pretty funky, but basically they're able to like transform a cooler door with a digital screen along with sensors and cameras. And basically what it does is provide targeted ads to in-store shoppers.
So if I'm walking down the freezer section, there's going to be a camera on me that looks at me and assesses what, my age?
Right. So it assesses two things: your approximate age, right, and your gender. And so basically, based
will
on
it
that,
do my weight. I'm just wondering if it will suggest sugar-free ice cream rather than, you know.
That's a good question. So that wasn't a part of. So the Wall Street Journal kind of had this scoop on what their company's all about and the pilot with Walgreens. So basically, I don't know what it can tell you beyond just sort of your approximate age and your gender. But basically, what it can do is provide you a targeted ad of something that's in that cooler based on what you're likely to buy.
And so if I'm a 35-year-old woman, they would have an idea that I would want...
Maybe you want a health drink, or, you know, maybe if you're an older...
And if I'm a 65-year-old man, I would want...
Chocolate milk. I mean, I don't know.
Ice milk. My grandparents used to buy ice milk. All right, Catherine Davis, what do you think of this?
Well, you know, of course there's some privacy concerns, right? Because, you know, something is tracking you, taking photos of you, you know, putting your information in a database, right? But, you know, your age and your gender aren't really things that Google doesn't already
secrets,
know about
right.
you, right? You know, so I think this is the kind of stuff we're going to continue to see, and stuff that's already out there.
Well, and also sometimes we're confronted by things, and you know, my first reaction is outrage. You know, but the fact is, this is only what we're doing online 95% of the time.
The unique thing, or the strange thing potentially for a customer, is that you're seeing this in real life, right? When you're shopping online, every company already has all this information and way more about
right,
your shopping
way
habits.
More.
But now you're kind of coming to it on an in-person basis, which might be a little spooky to customers. But what the company says is that it only stores anonymous metadata on the demographics of shoppers, and it doesn't store transmit image data that identifies specific people. So basically, you know, they're telling you, hey, this thing is safe. We're not, you know, sharing this information. We're just using this data, this information to give you a better product.
I like to shop, you know, and I don't want to be pushing my shopping cart and having someone realize that the madmen behind the cooler are recommending that I get low-cal cottage cheese.
It is a pretty interesting thing, right? And I think that, you know, when we look back to something that sort of fell off, but remember Google Glass, right? The idea that Google was going to put these glasses on your head all the time. Certainly a big part of that eventually was going to be them feeding ads to these Google Glasses, right? So you're walking down the street and Walgreens says, hey, come in for 2-for-1 Diet Coke, right? So like, this has been sort of like the, I think, the future of in-store retail. And it's kind of interesting to see a Chicago startup being at the forefront of that.
I mean, I'm going back and forth on the idea. I'm kind of being devil's advocate, but I just think it's really an interesting turn and probably a good indicator of where we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, ads are such a big part of our life, right? Like, I wish that there was just something that blocked all ads always at this point. But, you know, this could be useful in ways, I mean, as long as it's accurate, right? So it's giving you ads, the things that you're actually interested in.
Is this where we explain to Catherine that both radio programs and online sites rely on ads to keep to pay us?
But I think if, you know, ads aren't bad if you're receiving something that is helpful to you. You know, I think that's where ads are the most effective, right? If I'm receiving an ad for something that I actually would potentially purchase. And I think that's what we're kind of seeing here. Right?
I was so happy to get the push notifications from Banana Republic right up until December 30th. Now I just want them to stop.
Right.
And so they become annoying by this point.
Yeah. So smarter advertising.
You also wrote about this smart kitchen scale that is Amazon equipped or Alexa equipped. I'm not sure understand this one. Explain it for me. Because they want to do more than just measure your flour, right?
So this startup is called Pepper, and it's got a device that's a smart kitchen scale, and it does a lot. So basically, first of all, yes, it's equipped with Amazon Alexa, so basically you can ask it different instructions, and it'll walk you, Alexa will walk you through step-by-step of the cooking process. The scale also has a built-in HD video player, so if you need to know how to dice an onion, it'll show you on the video screen how to dice an onion. Secondly, it's got a smart scale component to where really it eliminates the need of measuring cups. So if you need to add flour to the bowl, you put the bowl on top of the measuring cup on the scale and just start pouring flour, and then it'll tell you when to stop. So no more needing to measure out to the T exactly how much to put in.
Catherine, is this one of those things that we need or don't need?
Well, I think parts of it, components of it are things that we need, right? Like, I really like the measuring component because, you know, sometimes you need to know ounces versus cups or whatever. And so this can help you figure it out. But, you know, things like the giving you steps on recipes, you know, we were talking about this before, and you have to use their specific recipes. You couldn't use your own. And so, you know, there's just like little things there depending on how you like to cook.
I did some cooking yesterday, and I'm terrible about remembering the steps. And I'm always going back. So I'm picturing this Lucille Ball thing where Alexa keeps giving me instructions and I'm falling further and further behind. I don't know.
But you can ask it, Alexa, go back 2 steps, and then it'll, you know. So I don't think it's going to get so spinning out of control to where you're...
Have you ever been in the kitchen with me, Jim? I don't think you have. Jim Dahlke and Catherine Davis from Chicago Inno. Check them out at chicagoinno.com. Get their daily newsletter.
The Beat.
And the Chicago Inno Minute every morning on the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. Thanks for coming by, you guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.